Hallelujah. You can just remain in a prayerful attitude. The Lord just showed me something, and I want to share it with y'all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Don't change your posture just because we turned on the lights. Hallelujah. We've been preparing for our 20th anniversary celebration. We're having a big gala here on Friday night, and then on Sunday we're going to share some things. Matt and I are going to do the service together and happening. But in going preparing for this, it's been a sort of a reflection going on inside of me. Probably some of y'all have had that too. Some of you have been here a really long time, and just a reflection of what's going on, just like Terry was talking about when she came. But tonight, just as we were worshiping God, I saw something that I hadn't seen about these 20 years, and I just wanted to share that, because as we were seeing, it was just like it played out before me. And some of you don't realize this because you're kind of new to Good News Church, but those of you who've been part of the church for a long time, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll remember what I'm talking about. But Good News Church is always, particularly at the beginning, has always been a supernatural church. Just the beginning of the church, the way our church started, we started out of a tent meeting over on Gordon Highway. There was a tent meeting there, and in that tent meeting, James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, came to that meeting, and he stood right in front of me, and he prayed to receive Jesus as his Savior. He and his wife, we had no idea that she would, less than 6 months later, go on to be with the Lord as a complication of some surgery she had. But he was so excited about it, he left that place, and he went over to the radio station that he owned at that time and got on the station and started giving his testimony about what had just happened. That was just like supernatural craziness, you know? And things like that just happened. It was kind of an earmark. But I, as I was standing there, as we were worshiping God, I just saw some things that have happened over the years. I just want to share a couple of them with you here tonight. I remember being in service early on. It was when we were in the very first space we had. We rented 3,000 square foot of space, and there were just a few of us, and I remember we were there, and we were singing much like we were tonight, except then we didn't have a band, we just had tapes, and we actually sang along with tapes. How funny were we? But that's what we had, and that's what we did, and we were good. And then while we were singing, though, but just to show you that that works, while we were singing worship, God, Matt had gone up, and he was over praying, and then I say the team, I think it was Carol, they were up, and they were singing. And we were just worshiping God like we were then. And in the middle of us worshiping the Lord right then, somebody just bumped into me. And so I'm standing there, you know, in that little space. And I just felt somebody just bumped into me. It almost like knocked me over, except I opened my eyes and there was nobody there. And I knew immediately an angel bumped into me. And when I opened my eyes, you know, I was bumped and I could feel it. And I knew immediately that was an angel. And that was the first time in that service that I ever publicly prophesied, was in that service at that time. And it was a moment in life for me. It was something I recognized. Something happened to me, and something, God was doing something. It was a supernatural moment in our church. And then at some point early on, when we were still in that building, I remember after service on the way home one night, Molly Anna, who was just really little then, Molly Anna's in the back seat, and she said, "Who was that man, Mom? Who was that man? I couldn't see him." And I said, "What man?" She said, "That man who was standing behind Dad." And I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." She said, "During the service, I could just see his legs. I couldn't see any, but I could just see his legs behind Dad. His legs were up there. Y'all remember that?" And I didn't know what it was, and I immediately knew she was seeing an angel. And so things like that happen frequently. We moved to the next building, and we were in a service there. And I don't even remember who was up front. I think it was Matt. Y'all may know more about this, Carolyn. I don't even remember who was up front. And all I remember was Carolyn Waddell, who was our token old lady in the church. God bless her. She's cheering us on right now. She comes up the aisle of the church, and maybe we were in the old building. I don't remember. The second space when we moved in. And all I remember, she was a tiny little woman, and she was like this. If Claire was here, she could give us an illustration. Claire does, the Carolyn Waddell angel. But she was like this, and she was coming down, and she saw great big angels standing on the platform. And you know she saw something, because if you didn't have to look where she was looking and see it, all you had to do was look at Carolyn. And she's just going, oh, you remember it, Tony? Do you remember? It was just a crazy moment in the life, in our life. And so those kinds of things happened to us, not because we didn't make a big deal out of it. We didn't try to make it happen. We weren't saying everybody try to see an angel. It was never, ever anything like that. We never even talked about it much. I don't know if I even told anybody about the brushing against me or the thing with Molly. That I just found out about that later. But there were things like that happened through the course of our history. Then even after we moved here, I remember in one of our impact meetings, Jeremy Gall was standing over here ministering, and I saw him. I was sitting there, and suddenly I noticed there was somebody standing behind Jeremy that was moving along with Jeremy, and wherever he moved, and I finally realized, because I was trying to think, who is that? Is that one of the ushers? What is he doing? Why is that guy there? And suddenly it dawned on me that was an angel with him. And he was right alongside, because they're there to bear us up in their arms lest we dash our foot. I mean, he was there already. And that night, there were several people, several notable healings that night in the service. So there, I just bring these things up because I just saw all this as we were standing here worshiping God. The Good News Church has always been a place where supernatural things have happened. But I would say this, there have been seasons, it seems like, where we've had more supernatural things. And when we started early on, there were so many supernatural things. And I think the reason why, I mean, I could really just fill the rest of your evening into early morning time telling you about things that happened. Supernatural offerings, just really God doing things. But one of the reasons why is number one, I think we were really hungry for God to show himself to us, because we had come out of a place where we just heard the word, but we never really saw or experienced much. But we knew the word, but we didn't really have a revelation of God's presence that much. And so that, I think, was one reason, because we would just get together. You don't know how many nights we just showed up at church and just got on the floor and sat in the chairs or wherever, and we just prayed. Like, instead of going out to eat, we'd just get together and pray, and just because we were just so hungry for God to show himself and to manifest himself. And I mean, we had some crazy times. Not all of it can I say was absolutely God, but we absolutely had some really crazy good times too that were just God working in us, teaching us and training us to flow with him. Lots and lots of him just teaching and training us to follow him and just to be willing to step out for him. Now, it's interesting as you fast forward over the years how much bolder and more confident we are to just step out and be obedient now, but it started back then. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said the Lord had showed him that in the last days what God was doing, he was building strong and raising up the local churches, strong local churches that knew the word of God, walked in faith, but that they knew how to be led by the Holy Spirit. They would flow with the Holy Spirit. And it can be easy for a church to shut down the flow of the Holy Spirit. You know, there was a season when we went, some of y'all were part of our church, we went over to Prep when we moved, left our building on Rutsford Road, and we moved to a school out at Augusta Prep on Flowing Wells Road. We were there. Sorry to say we lived there. We didn't live there. We had to set up our bed every Sunday morning. But anyway, we had to set up and tear down. But we were there for 2 years. But during that time, we thought we were going to be a cool church. And so we decided we weren't going to be a supernatural church anymore. We'd be a supernatural church, you know, like over in the corner. But we weren't going to be supernatural from the up front. And that was when we decided, well, we're not going to speak in tongues on the microphone. We're not going to do stuff like that. We're going to do it, you know, quietly at our chair. But we won't do anything weird that might drive people off. But it was so difficult for us to do that because that wasn't who we were, and it really was terrible. That's when Matt and I had to start going to counseling. Was right about that time. That is when we started. Do you ever think about that, Matt? That's when we started going to counseling, because our marriage had problems then, because we quit being who we were, because we've always been Holy Ghost people. We're word people, and I mean, I'll fight you if you say I'm not a word person. I'll throw down with you. Because we're word people. I'll slap you around with the sword if you were to dare or question that. But I tell you, we are supernatural people. We are Holy Ghost people. And so what I was seeing as we were sitting, standing there worshiping God, the Lord said to me, he said, because I've seen that, we've never wavered from preaching the word, but we have drawn back from our awareness of his presence. We have drawn back from letting him deal with us in supernatural ways. I mean, I'm just being honest with y'all. I might as well go ahead. There's been times we've been more open, times we've been less open. But the Lord said to me when we were here, he showed me that the days that are ahead will be not as much supernatural as our early days, but will be more supernatural than our early days. And that we were now entering into a time, not because he's been holding back, but our awareness and our hunger. And there's people that are hungry and their heart is growing for the supernatural. And people are longing for that and they need that. And the world needs it. And the mission that we have in front of us demands that we walk in the supernatural. And that we would have supernatural days ahead just as we had in our early years. That the days ahead would be just as supernatural as our early years. And not because we make it happen and not because, you know, somebody makes something up. It's not, we will not do that. That will not be what we do. It will be real. It will be God. And you won't have to say, oh, this was God, because everyone will know it's God. Hallelujah. The issue with this is that I've noticed that the Holy Spirit, he doesn't come in and push himself on people. Holy Spirit is not a demanding, you know, he is the Spirit of love. He's the Spirit of grace. And he comes to those who welcome him. He comes to those who desire him. He comes and makes his home and manifests himself and openly displays himself to those that want him and long for him, not those that are indifferent, not those that don't, you know, are afraid of him or don't want him. It's those that long for him. And so I just invite you to join me in longing for him to manifest himself. He's not trying to withhold himself. But we can get so caught up in the world. We can get so caught up in our schedule and our program. We can get so caught up in even just pounding out the word that we don't give the Holy Spirit his place and room to move. And so that's just what I wanted to say. And I want to close out this part. I want to read you a scripture, Gracie. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read this scripture and then do something. And then I'll see who may have something to throw in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. And Paul's writing. Well, let's just begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." You know, good preaching is good. And there's certainly, we have in this generation some really great communicators and people who can preach and teach. And we can go on the internet at any moment and pull up just amazing messages. But Paul's saying, as good as that is, and even as necessary as that may be, that's not what he was depending on. That's not what, you know, was the earmark of his ministry. And it's not, you know, to me, he's saying to me, this shouldn't be what I'm striving for, what I'm trying to build ministry on. He says in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." It's the gospel. And then in verse 3, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." We are in a generation of people where their idea of going to church, going to a good church, is to go and hear a good message that's filled with persuasive words. Isn't it true? And I'm telling you, as a minister, there's a lot of pressure on you to give a good word that is filled with persuasive words and, frankly, of human wisdom that would appeal to the masses. But Paul said that wasn't what his aim was. there was demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And if people in our day don't know that God's power is real and they don't see His Spirit demonstrated, they will look for something else. Because a lot of people can give good words. There's a lot of people who can give good words. But God wants to demonstrate Himself. And Jesus said that when the word's given, God will confirm His word with signs. That's demonstrations. So we should have that. And then verse 5, He says, here's the reason. So that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that is the aim. If that was, you know, as they say, if that was good enough for Paul, if that was his aim, he certainly knows more. He knew more than I will ever know. He understood more. You know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around a few verses he wrote. But he said here something that was really key. He said, we should long for, we should expect, we should go for a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God's not holding back from us. I know that. God is not holding back. We're not waiting on God to decide to demonstrate Himself. God longs to demonstrate Himself. His power is always available. But our faith has not been in the power of God. It's been in the wisdom of men. It's been in a lot of other things. It's been in our abilities. It's been in a whole lot that I won't get into, that it could be into. But a demonstration of the Spirit of power. All right. The most supernatural thing you can do at will at any moment is... The most supernatural thing that you can do at your will is pray in tongues. And praying in tongues is the doorway into the supernatural. And so I know this, the more I pray in tongues, the more I see the power of God in demonstration. The more I pray in tongues, it's a opening. And I believe that's one of the main reasons the enemy has fought that so much. And there's been so much error in teaching and misunderstanding has been, you know, the enemy's gotten there and confused people about that and created a great fear about speaking in tongues, because he knows that that is a way and the way really for us to begin to step into the supernatural. It's just, you pray in tongues and it's supernatural because you're speaking heaven's words. You're speaking words that are not of you. It's God. And you are releasing God's words out of your mouth. It's amazing that you can do this. It is precious. You and me can do it. It will. It's awesome. So I just want to take a few minutes and I want us to pray in other tongues. And I want us to pray, according to these verses, that there would be a demonstration. Let's just tell God that we would enjoy and like and invite a demonstration of the Spirit and of His power, so that the people who are, including us, who come to this place, so we could have our faith be in the power of God and not just have to settle for the wisdom of men, but that there would be a faith that would arise within us. Within this church, a faith would rise to be in the power of God. That we would believe in the supernatural and we would be those supernatural people. Hallelujah. So I just invite you to pray. And oftentimes as we pray in church, I tell you, you can make a little place there for yourself to pray, or you can get up and move around if you want. Just don't bother other people. Don't get right next to somebody and you know, scream in their ear. That would be rude. So don't do that. We got plenty of room in here. You can spread around. And let's just take a moment and pray. If you want to stand, if it helps you to stay awake while you pray, stand. Hallelujah. You can come up here and kneel if you want. That's certainly invited. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray tonight. We just come to you. Hallelujah. You've given us an ability beyond our ability to pray in other tongues. And we exercise that tonight. Hallelujah. Corporately, we pray. We lift up our voices together and we pray. Hallelujah. We release the supernatural. We release the life and the breath of God through our lips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit words we speak. Hallelujah. And we know the Holy Spirit within us has given us utterance. And Father, we just tell you, we long for demonstrations of the Spirit. Father, we are Holy Ghost people. We are Word people. We are Holy Ghost people. That's who we are. It's in our DNA. That's who we are at Good News Church. And Father, we long to see more and more of the demonstrations of your power. Hallelujah. And Father, we ask you for an increase in demonstrations of the power. Hallelujah. We ask you that would increase, and we ask you to work with us. Show us, what can we do? Where do we need to yield? How can we cooperate more? It's not you holding back. It's been on our side. What do we need to do? We ask you for wisdom. We ask you for help. We ask you for understanding. Hallelujah. That we would see and we would know. Hallelujah. That we would see and we would know. That we would see and we would know. Oh, brise, bodos, lombre, shepakata. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We trust you to give us utterance.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As Pastor Susie was sharing, and as we began praying, I just was reminiscing about some of the words that God has spoken to me through the Holy Spirit and through prophetic utterance by these guys and others. And one of the things that really has shaped my life and shaped my ministry, because I was young when I came to the church and had never really experienced the supernatural in my ministry or my life in a non-weird, kooky kind of way. It was always kind of a weird stuff that I had seen and been a part of, and I didn't want anything to do with that. But when I came to Good News, it's real. And it's not weird. It is supernatural. And so, we were there at Augusta Prep, and we would have, youth services at the lodge. Coleman, you remember that? And one of the things that Pastor Susie spoke to me in a service much like this, she said, make room. Just two words. And there were more, but those two really stick out in my mind. She said, make room. And what she was really intending to say is make room for the supernatural. Make room for the supernatural in your ministry to the students, in your ministry at large. Make room for the supernatural in your life. And the Holy Spirit just prompted me with those same words tonight. Make room. Make room. Because, and I believe this would apply to somebody tonight, because we can get so busy. Our lives can be so busy. And crowded. They're crowded. It's crowded. Your life can be crowded. So you need to make room. Make room for the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit. Make room for the supernatural to flow in and through you. Because it's not just about experiencing the supernatural here at Good News Church. It's about Good News Church, you, experiencing and flowing in the supernatural in your world. Make room. Make room. So, Father, we hear you tonight. We will make room. We'll make room in our lives for your supernatural gifts to flow through us. We'll long for those. We'll be expectant. And we'll make room. We'll make room. We'll make room. We're making room. We're making room. I'm making room in my life. Yeah, pushing some things, some distractions aside in the name of Jesus. Yeah, they may be good things, but they're distractions. Making room for the supernatural. I'm making room for the supernatural. Making room for the supernatural. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father. And as a result of making room, we'll see a shift. We'll see a shift in that direction. We'll see a shift in that direction. A greater door for those things will open up to us. Because we make room. Because we make room. Yeah, we'll be more aware because we've made room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I declare that over Good News Church, that we're making room for the supernatural. The people of Good News Church are making room for the supernatural, and we'll flow in it like never before. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand to your feet as we close. We've never really been good at just being spectators. We want to be participators, and so I wanted to give you the opportunity that if you've never prayed in the Holy Spirit, never received the Holy Spirit and prayed in other tongues, I want to stand over here. I'm going to turn it over to you, but I'm going to stand over here, and as we close, I would be happy and willing, it'd be my pleasure to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in tongues.